meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hello, Tony.
Hello, Father.
Christina.
Yeah, she's still under the weather.
Still under the weather. As a lingering cold.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Upside down world.
Tell me about it.
Not going into the details, but yeah, so it is. Has it always been? I suppose, to varying degrees. But
I think now maybe it's, some are more aware of it now, I think. I think it's something that's always been, but, you know,
I think you're right. It's we get information comes right. Immediately. It's coming, the internet is... Mm-hmm. Speeding life up,
right?
As sad to say, but and so I think just this, we're inundated with information, and have to try to figure out how to navigate through that and determine what's real from what's false,
yeah.
What is really fake news. And it seems like there's a lot of fake news out there, but the whole justice system in this country seems to be completely upside down. And if you're really, I try to avoid, words like the left and the right.
Right. Or, how do you do that today?
Today, it's so blatant. It's right in your face.
How do you look at a picture and say, why is it for some but not for the other? And then you think about that middle ground where even if you walk into any situation and you say, look, I'm going to listen to both sides. I'm going to look at the evidence, present it. And you still can't make a right or wrong decision anymore.
You should
you
be able
truth.
To, but you don't know. But you
exactly.
You don't know. So we're not going to go into the whole collusion, conspiracy,
right.
And all that with the president. But it's
like, what do you believe? And even that, it was interesting. You should bring that up too, because I hate to do this. I try to stay away from the news, but what I do in my daily. I have the radio on, so I'm listening to all different things. I'm reading things. And I really am at that point where I just have to put it all away because none of this is making sense.
Well, there's a part of it that makes sense, but
there is, yeah.
But
it's like an overload of your senses, which you're right and wrong. I feel in order to walk in this world, you can't be the one with the truth or to know right and wrong.
Yeah, sure.
That's
yeah.
What it's becoming very clear to me lately that it's like, you are the odd one. You
yeah,
are
right,
the,
yeah.
You know.
Well, in the case of the president, and regardless of whether you like the president or you don't like the president, mm-hmm. You like what he's doing or you don't like what he's doing, it's just the fact that this investigation,
right.
What do they call that, the Mueller investigation?
Right.
The fact that this I mean, there's so many in government and in the media convinced mm-hmm. that
And I got to be honest. I mean, I wanted to see something that he did wrong, but it hasn't been proven that he has.
No.
It's like I'm going to persecute somebody for a crime. What crime is that? Don't worry about it. We're just going to keep going until we find one.
Yeah, it seems
like
it,
doesn't
it? Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's what's so...
And then you go for the ride, and that's what I felt like I did. I went for the ride. And now I'm at the end, and we're at the end where we say, well, we didn't find anything, but there possibly could be something.
There's got to be something. Yeah. It's mind-blowing,
yeah.
Mind-boggling. But two years, almost 3 years has
yeah.
it been? I don't know. It's been forever, it seems.
I think, honestly, if you spend 2 years on something, you're going to find something. You're going to kick something over or invent something.
What's amazing is, how many subpoenas, how many lawyers, how
and
many
the time and the money. Yes.
And yet...
For what?
For what? And yet they're going to still...
keep going.
You know, aren't there bigger issues now? I mean, this is...
I'm kind of surprised it's ended, which I really don't believe it's ended. I'm sure there's going to be something you can find if you keep looking for anything.
Yeah, whatever. We'll just let that go. This is too complicated. But
yeah.
It's just a sign of the crazy world we live in. And the fact that this nation has been so fixated on this because it's been perpetuated as a reality without any evidence or evidence that was
a thought, a dislike,
that dossier
it could be
paid for by the
Clinton
opposition.
Yeah, opposition. You know, but that doesn't matter. Let's do that for 2 years and try to keep finding something. I don't know. I hate to do this, but it you know, you're always going to upset somebody because there's always that other person on the other side that says, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. There's still something. Well, let's put, you know, black and white here.
But there's
where are the facts?
You know, but all this energy, money yeah. expended on this, and yet there's all these other issues that we could be dealing with. And
exactly.
Anyway, it's mind-boggling. And now today with the news breaking that this guy Smollett here in Chicago was...
I can't figure that out. I'm sure something else is going to come out on that. I don't know what, though, but...
He's been exonerated, and there's no... no crime here.
I wish they would have took 2 years to find something on him. Because I'm sure if they kept looking for 2 years and got everybody around him, put them in jail, they'd find something.
Just crazy, 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 crazy. Anyway, well, so it's like you want to say something. You got to talk. I feel like I'm walking around the issues because I don't want to claim to know to be so. Astute to the details, but I've been watching all this.
And see, that's the thing. The people that do this, that really kind of, they don't speak right away, but they've kind of looked at all the facts and evidence and things like that, and they try not to make a decision, and then you kind of expect justice to work. It doesn't for whatever reason.
Yeah,
there's reasons.
Justice isn't so just. You know, it's just,
yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, whatever.
I just keep thinking, if it was you and I that did something like, in both cases, let's you put ourselves in as a president, or put ourselves in as a TV star like this, and if we did something like this, what do you think would have happened to us?
Oh, of course we know.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
We know. But what's crazy about this time in which we live is you can't freely speak.
No.
You know,
even
as we're on this radio, because I'm not a politician. I'm not.
Right.
Although I keep attuned to what's going on, and that's where you feel like you're in this. You're being bounced back and forth. You know, like you said, what is truth from untruth?
What is truth?
You try to figure this out, and in the meantime, But anyway, we'll just stick with the faith and but the point is, I guess, is that you really can't have a discussion. It's if you lean to the left, I mean, and the farther you lean to the left, the more you seem to have a voice, and that voice has got to be respected. And if there's any sense that it's not being respected, then you're just completely.
It's interesting because if you think of truth, and I kind of liken it to our faith, and that's why it's easier to talk about the faith instead of talking about what's going on in the world and stuff like that, because there's always one side or the other.
Right.
Jesus said some things. That there's no one side or the other.
Right.
It's what Jesus said. My God said this. I can't refute this. I can't change this. But it's interesting how in life, if you're political in any way or you don't have the truth can be bent to whatever view is.
Sure.
But the real truth, which is God, you don't bend. Jesus, you know, Moses gave the Ten Commandments to, you know, God. You don't, well, maybe they're this and maybe they're that. There's no none of that. If you have faith, you believe that this is the truth. And I think, you know, when you think about life in general and, you know, who you can decipher has the truth. People have to think. You have to pay attention to what people say. And let's be honest, some people can be very deceptive and tell you one thing and think something very else. I like to think, when I think of God, I think of Jesus, there wasn't that.
Right.
He said what was plain.
And yet the same tension is exists in the church.
Yes,
today,
exactly.
As there's this, so the point, I guess, is, and again, I know I'm not making any sense here, but you're this side or that, you're right or you're left, mm-hmm. or you're, it's not about being a liberal or conservative or mm-hmm. a left or right. It's about, as you said, about truth. What is the truth? And we adhere to a truth that, as Jesus said, this is a truth that will set you free, mm-hmm. and not only set you free, but it'll bring you to do great service to the society, to the world in which we live, so that we're together navigating through this world that is tainted mm-hmm. by the effect or the consequences of original sin. As I've said many times, you know, the light and dark is it's all woven into our own personal lives. We have to lean into the light away from the dark. The dark can disguise itself in the light, mm-hmm. as Jesus said. Satan, he is a deceiver. He is a seducer. He creates the illusion. And it seems like the world is increasingly under the power of this kind of deception.
Yeah.
And it's being perpetrated, and with no regard for any kind of truth, so the people can just blatantly lie,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem to bother them at all. It doesn't bother the conscience. I look at
these conscience,
people
exactly.
in the media, and yeah. and equally as much in the church, and they're not bothered by the, or do they really believe what they're saying?
I've thought about this too. I don't know if it's just you're caught in the deception, or, and you say this a lot, Father, and it's one of the things that I like when you say it, and I believe this. There are good people, but I think people get deceived. I mean, I look at what's going on in the world today, and you may judge me by my words, or you're this side or the other, but in reality, I was on all sides, and then I was on no sides, because there was a time when I didn't care about any of this, and I walked a life of freedom, not thinking about this, but in reality, that was wrong, because I let these things happen. And to be honest, at this point in our lives, everyone— if you choose to do nothing, you're allowing it to happen. If you choose to be ignorant, which some people do, and I mean, I bless them, because it's like, if you can go through life not knowing what's going on and what's right and wrong, or maybe just that's their way of dealing with it.
Perhaps their way of dealing with it, but we're going to be held accountable.
Exactly.
And I was asking the question on Sunday, because I brought up read the Cardinal's letter. Mm-hmm. With regard to the legislation about abortion, you know,
right.
pushing the, as I said, just call it the leftist,
mm-hmm.
Liberal leftist, socially progressive. I hate that word, progressive.
Yeah, do too.
Ideology that keeps pushing the envelope. Where does it stop? Where does
but
it stop?
The thing
so this
too.
Is the point that that now we that there's this attempt to legislate. Infanticide,
mm-hmm.
infanticide, or that a child, a minor, can get an abortion without a parental consent, without even notifying the parent,
mm-hmm.
but cannot receive an aspirin or even get her ears pierced.
That
without
blew
the
my
consent
mind
of a
when
parent.
You said that.
How do
amazes
we get,
me.
See, the question is, how do we get here?
Yeah.
How do we get here? And it is, you know, with this political stuff that's unfolding, and again, regardless of where you stand with the president, he is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And even to, for me to sit here and defend the presidency, I almost do it reluctantly because of the backlash.
Yeah.
You know, but this is where I feel like we've lost our ability to reason. Mm-hmm. You know, this man isn't, he's got rough edges and he's got his admittedly major flaws. But
see, here's the thing that kind of even bothers me a little bit more. When people say he shouldn't be president and stuff like that, and you have people in power that are saying, oh, he did this and he did that, and they have no respect for the people that voted for him. I'll be honest, I didn't like many presidents, but you know what? I never thought that I could do these things. Once you have that battle, one side, and then you declare someone as president, that should be the president we all stand behind. But it's not like that anymore.
No,
it's
not,
so
no.
ignorant on, and I would say both sides. There's not a feeling. Even, you know, you think about the Democratic Party itself has no respect for the president.
Well, and not only do they not have respect, but the hate so many have for the president. And even those who support the presidency or the president don't perhaps not support all his policies and all that, but but what do we know? I mean, this is where you try to when it comes to the economy or when it comes to the whole immigration question or when it comes to the life issues. I mean, I have no problem whatsoever with that. But how we approach all these other social issues or the economy, as I said, it's we don't know. I mean, who knows? Who's got the answer? You know, this is where, thank God for the government. There's more than just the presidency, but just the outright hate or the inability to even, as I said, even have a civil discourse, a dialogue, or to try to understand each other's position.
Right.
In an intelligible way, and I'm certainly not speaking in any kind of an intelligible way right here, because I'm talking around issues, I think, because it's so hard to know how to talk about that unless you in the company of a friend where you can talk about these things. You have to worry about the backlash or that somebody's going to bite your head off or that somebody's going to just assume that you're anti-immigration or anti. Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know, that you're homophobic or you're hateful or Islamophobic or whatever it might be. You know, this is absurd.
But then interesting, when I look at, okay, well, what are the other people saying that want to be president next time? I can't even agree with anything they're saying because they're all off the wall.
Crazy. We just
so it's like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to get off that subject and not making any sense to anybody, and I probably think
it's just venting.
Venting is exactly 18 minutes of just venting. I think I just was angry. I was angered when I found out that Smollett was just completely, those charges were completely just dropped just now. And
I don't want to say
for what reason.
Yeah, it's anger. It's I don't understand because I think I can see other things going on there, which I
well there are. That's
yeah,
like, what,
definitely.
What's the backstory there? But so it's that in the aftermath of this Mueller report investigation that after what 2.5-3 years whatever and it's come out now all of a sudden there's still this put it to rest. My gosh.
Yeah.
Put it to rest. Let's move on. We've got other things to do, bigger issues here. I agree that this, it seemed like a witch hunt. That's all I can say.
I mean, I was looking for something to be the result of all of this. You know,
you
put all this time and what's the result?
Well, because everybody said, how many talking heads said that, this is, I mean, my gosh, how many times has he been called?
Heard, I love when they play how all these people have said this from the very beginning, and now that it's proven not to be the case, none of those people have anything else to say. It's total silence, birds chirping,
Crazy.
It's like, I don't get it.
So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll shift into the church politics.
Yes, that's
so
great.
So the question is Pope Francis politically correct or politically incorrect?
I don't even want to think about this.
Okay. But I'm going to surprise you, I think.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
In a moment here. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Father Loya invites you to an extraordinary occasion of healing, hope, and grace. Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, as Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish in Homer Glen, Illinois, hosts the world-renowned International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima. Come and hear the story of Fatima and venerate this image of our Blessed Lady that has set out from Fatima, Portugal in 1947 to bring the graces of Fatima to all. Hundreds of favors and graces, including cures and countless conversions, have been associated with this image. The International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Fatima, Monday and Tuesday, April 29th and 30th, at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road in Homer Glen, Illinois. For complete schedule and information, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So, shifting into church politics, not that you want to hear this. When you were a child, did you hear this? I always heard this. Don't speak of politics and religion.
Somebody will have an argument.
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to that. Unfortunately,
I said that for a lot of my life, and then I started doing that thing.
Well, because we're religious people, we can't separate politics from religion, really, because we're talking about the well-being of a nation, the well-being of a people. And so we should be speaking about it, but as we... Well, anyway, the Pope, Pope Francis. Now, many people, certainly the... you've heard it said, perhaps. If you haven't, I've heard it. I'll tell you, I've heard it said. And I don't know how much attention people put to this papacy. I would think that people must be aware. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the leftist, those that lean in the direction of the left, liberal, social, progressive ideology, love this pope, because he seems to be a leftist, liberal-leaning, socially progressive, quote-unquote, pope. And so that's bothers many who lean more to the right, who are more conservative. Or that's the kind of stuff you read about, you hear, you know. And often when he speaks, especially when he speaks in a way that is favorable to a leftist way of thinking, especially when it comes to climate change immigration. Immigration, I have to be, I don't even want to talk about leftist versus the right. That's a, it's an issue that has to be dealt with. This is the whole migration, immigration, mm-hmm. or let's say illegal immigration. Those are topics that are really quite sensitive, and, mm-hmm. and how do you deal with that? And it, certainly for the church, we have no, the church has no borders. The church is universal. A nation has a responsibility and an obligation to protect its borders. At the same time, you know, allowing for the flow of immigrants to mm-hmm. to come in a proper way. But anyway, the nation has nations create the problem. Right. In a sense, and we're by tradition an immigrant nation, and so my whole adult life has been working with immigrant people, and so I have a great sensitivity to that and mm-hmm. to how they the struggles they had to go through to get into this nation, to get into this country, and I recognize the great contributions that they do make. I love these people as I love anybody. We don't make these distinctions, you know. Again, it's a society that creates so many distinctions, but objectively speaking, practically speaking, in a reasoned way, these issues have to be dealt with, mm-hmm. Right? So the border, open border, you know, when we're talking about cartels, when we're talking about trafficking, I know from my own experience just being here how many of our people have lost loved ones yeah. crossing the border, you know, taken by the coyotes and mm-hmm. or kidnapped or, you know, they send the belt back or some article or some, right. some identification of the person to make the family know that they've got this person mm-hmm. in their possession. And if you want this person, your son or your brother, mm-hmm. your husband,
pay us
or
this.
Your wife, pay us this. And so I've watched families continue to pour money down there to whomever, a couple of thousand dollars, more than a few thousand dollars, and they've never, ever seen. Mm-hmm. There's a point where it stops, but they don't, neither do they see nor hear ever again from the son, the brother, the member of the family. And that's an evil. That's yeah. a tragedy that many people aren't aware of. Anyway, that's the point being that we have to deal in the realm of politics. We have to know what's going on politically. And it is a very difficult climate we're living in mm-hmm. where there are these, where you have to distinguish between what is truth and what is not truth. What is fake news? What is and what are the agendas behind mm-hmm. the legislation or the whatever? So, but speaking of the Pope, he tends to be very political. Pope John Paul II was very political. Again, mm-hmm. you know, you have to be political. And the assumption is that he politically leans to the left, mm-hmm. but I've got here an article that states 14 politically incorrect statements of Pope Francis, and I thought it was interesting because it might again help us to understand that to what extent we're manipulated by the media, mm-hmm. what's being spoken about, what's actually being hidden from the people, depending on where you get your news, mm-hmm. religious or otherwise. But so I want to go through, if we will try to get through these.
Cool.
But I thought it just is very interesting, you know. So knowing Pope Francis, and certainly people call him the merciful Pope. Well, who? Pope Benedict was merciful, and mm-hmm. Pope John Paul II was certainly merciful. So I don't hold that.
You gotta go deeper. Merciful to me, that's wanting to do what I want to do. That's why.
Well, but see, that's
what might be.
That's where sometimes what he says gets misconstrued.
Right.
Because is he really given a green light to do this or that or whatever? Mm-hmm. When you hear what he says, okay, we'll just start with this one.
Right.
Gender ideology. With regards to gender ideology, these are his words. gender ideology is demonic. He spoke those words in 2015. He says it militates against the order of creation. He says behind all this, we find gender ideology speaking to some journalists. And he says, well, Francis, in a shot at transgenderism, denounced gender ideology, especially as taught in public schools. He says, behind all this, we find gender ideology in books. Kids learn that it's possible to change one's sex. Could gender, to be a man or a woman, be an option and not a fact of nature? This leads to error. So many people seem to think that he, because he's been portrayed as very leftist, as a leftist, liberal, socially progressive pope, that he somehow supports, but he doesn't support this in any way whatsoever. When it comes to homosexuality, he says no homosexuals in seminaries or among active priests. He says if there's a doubt about homosexuality, it's better not to have them enter the seminary. He told the bishops in Italy just this past May, if you think that the guy is homosexual, don't put him in the seminary. He said that he had a conversation with a bishop who didn't think it was a problem that several priests in his diocese were openly gay because it was just an expression of affection. And the Holy Father emphatically disagreed, correcting him. He said, this is a mistake. It is not just an expression of affection. In the consecrated life and in the priestly life, there is no place for this kind of affection. And he'll go on to say, I say to the priest, gay religious men and women, we must urge you to live fully celibate and above all, to be exquisitely responsible. Try not to scandalize your communities or the holy faithful people of God by living a double life. It's better that you leave the ministry or consecrated life rather than live a double life.
Wow, this was Pope Francis.
This is Pope Francis.
Wow.
He says the church urges that persons with this rooted tendency not be accepted into ministry or consecrated life. In our societies, he lamented, it even seems homosexuality is fashionable, and this mentality in some way also influences the life of the church. And he reiterates, homosexuality is a very serious issue that must be adequately discerned from the beginning with the candidates to the priesthood. The church recommends that people with this ingrained tendency not be accepted into the ministry or the consecrated life. The ministry or the consecrated life is not his place. He certainly referred to the abuses as abominations, vowing that the church will spare no effort to do all that is necessary to bring to justice whosoever has committed such crimes, and quoting scripture about when the Lord says, better that a millstone be put around your neck and be thrown in the sea and drowned if you cause one of these little ones or the innocent to go astray, or you bring scandal to them. So, I mean, that's, you know, people keep going back to what he said, well, who am I to judge? Well, that's always been taken out of context in reference to to a repentant homosexual priest or whatever. He was a priest. Let me just kind of go through. Does that surprise you?
I'm silent because I'm in shock. Because I don't remember hearing these reports on us. Well, maybe they never got to people to listen to.
Well, I think he's,
which is interesting.
He's pastoral, and I agree with that. You know, people have to be accompanied through life. Don't we do this all the time in the confessional and as priests, as we're dealing with people that we're. You know, didn't Jesus do that with the people? I mean, it was, he certainly says, he points out sin. He says, don't commit this sin again, mm-hmm. but he went among the sinners. He said that prostitutes and tax collectors will be in heaven before the Pharisees and the scribes. The point is that the Lord doesn't leave us in sin, but his very life is a call to conversion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it's a process.
That's one of the things I think about when I hear these stories. Like, and I hate to, what goes on in the news, and even what the Pope says. I pay attention to what the Pope says, and I think to myself, even in my own life when things go bad, or I try to express myself to people, I think about what would Jesus do and how Jesus, you know, when you read the New Testament, when Jesus walked, you know, on earth, what he would do and what he would not do. And I think to myself, why can't people be more like that instead of, you know, causing division in a sense where people don't know the truth and just speak the truth?
Well, see, I think the difference, I think, is that, as I said, the Lord, he didn't leave people in sin. He brings them to conversion,
right,
to set things right. He brings healing into the lives of his people.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between the day in which we live now and that time, although he was crucified, he certainly was the conscience of the people. He did bother their conscience. He was a thorn in their side because he calls the people to truth then and now, because the church must reflect and has the obligation to serve Christ in truth, mm-hmm. in truth.
So then I wonder, too, and you've said this, too, last week about sacrifice. I mean, is it good to tell people, hey, you just be who you are? Or is it good to tell people, look, you have to sacrifice? You know, if the world is doing this, we, as God-fearing men and women, we don't do this. This is against God's laws. You need to do something else.
Well, see, this is the difference I'm saying, is that today people seems, well, certainly it doesn't seem, it's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be the... we wouldn't have legislated the redefinition of marriage,
right.
Redefining the family. And again, where do you know, they keep pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion was legalized in, 1973, I think, and now we're, how many years later? They continue to push the envelope to the point now that they're legislating or attempting to legislate in New York. They did, but infanticide.
Yes.
So it's accept. I've said so often, it's seemingly wanting to rewrite the laws of God, but it's not even rewriting the laws of God. It's just dispensing with law outright.
Right.
Recreate God in our image and likeness. Celebrate my disorder.
Right.
My proclivities.
Right.
Whatever it may be. And this is something we cannot do. So Pope Francis has been befriended by ideologues who want this kind of social progressive,
right.
To be socially progressive in this regard, and seemingly try to make us believe that he's on that side,
right.
Their side, that he's socially progressive, that he's evolved, and based on what he said, although I have to say, you get this idea that he's not necessarily conflicted, but for the sake of mercy, he says things that seem to water down the teachings of the church. Seemingly waters it down, but he doesn't. It's just he's trying to, he speaks off the cuff and wants to keep that door open. As he quotes Jesus and he reminds us that the church is like a hospital for the sick. But that presupposes that we recognize the sickness, right?
Right.
We got to recognize the sickness, the disorder. When Jesus says, I come not for the righteous, but for the sinners, we've got to acknowledge sin. And this is very hard for people today to acknowledge sinfulness, especially in the area of sexuality. It's a struggle for everybody. But if we want to obliterate the word sin and give the free rein of the flesh, then we've completely disregarded the whole of sacred scripture, the whole of church teaching, her magisterial teaching, scriptural, the sacred scripture, the very laws of God. In any case, these are just a couple of things. We'll take a break, come back, and I've only gotten to two, but I'm going to try to skip through some of these other ones because there's some of them are a little bit of a repeat, but it's but this has been a bit of an eye-opener for me as well, because I tend to read too often the I get caught up with the media sound bites, and if I don't take the time to read everything. And who's got the time to read everything?
Who does?
But what I do know is what the church teaches. And this is what I'm here to uphold, what the church teaches. So it gets disturbing when you get these sound bites that seem to go contrary to church teaching, when in fact, not necessarily. Anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, two blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Winds of Change would like you to know that Illinois will become even more extreme on abortion if several pieces of legislation are passed and signed into law. HB 2495/SB 1942 is known as the New York Abortion Bill. This bill makes abortion a basic right for any reason or no reason at all, up to birth. Among the many shortcomings, this bill jeopardizes any meaningful regulation of abortion clinics. Sadly, this bill would make Roe v. Wade seem pro-life in comparison. Then there is HB 2467/SB 1594, which is the repeal of the parental notice of abortion law. An abortion will no longer require the notice of just one parent when a girl under 18 years old seeks an abortion. This bill effectively takes the power from parents and transfers it to boyfriends, sex traffickers, bullies, classmates, and educators. Contact your local state senator and House representative this week. Do it now with a kind but firm message not to support these bills. Go online to sign a petition with your friends and families at ICE-PAC.com/petition. That's ICE-PAC.com/petition. For more information, visit the Winds of Change homepage on Facebook. Put your faith into action.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're talking about Pope Francis, the Holy Father. These are politically incorrect statements or things that he said, which really challenged the perceived notion that he's this socially progressive pope that wants to change everything or so much of time, tried and tested church teaching, which comes to us from the apostolic tradition, from Scripture. If anything's been progressive, it's the progression down through the ages, all culminating in Christ, who says, I come not to take away any of these commandments, but to fulfill them and to bring you beyond the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, to lives of high virtue. And of course, the whole Scripture, the Scripture Gospels open and close with, the whole of the Bible opens and closes with the call to conversion, to repent, to be converted. So, abortion. Because early into the papacy, he made a statement that we're not going to, that we need not focus, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but he seemed to de-emphasize, it seemed to de-emphasize the need to continue to speak about these things like abortion and sexual sins and all that. The reason being is that they're a given. It's the teachings are a given, but he's calling us to be pastorally sensitive and to accompany people, but which gives the impression that, but maybe it's a lack of appreciation for the struggle that we're going through, that we need clarity, we need direction. As I was saying on Sunday, based on that first reading, you know, God, raise up a Moses to set us free from our affliction. We're afflicted by the world we live in today. But with regards to abortion, I mean, he couldn't be more direct. He said abortion is Nazi eugenics with white gloves. How many times he's denounced the throwaway culture of abortion and urging Catholics to say no to the culture of death. He says, each life is sacred. Let us pray together for those children who are in danger of interpretation or interruption of pregnancy, and for those who are nearing the end of life. He says, whenever a human life no longer proves useful for that machine, or his lead into that, he called ahistorical fundamentalisms, ethical systems without goodness, with intellectualism bereft of wisdom. He says, whenever which among other things, disregard and discard human life, whenever human life no longer proves useful, it is discarded with few qualms, as in the case of the terminally ill, the elderly who are abandoned and uncared for, and children who are killed in the womb. He issued a strong call to Europe to get both its social and its spiritual house in order. He says, the incarnation of the Son of God opens a new beginning in the universal history of man and woman, and this new beginning happens within a family in Nazareth. Jesus was born in a family. God chose to come into the world in a human family, which he himself formed. He upholds the transmission of life, the sacramental nature of marriage, the role of parents in properly educating their children, with the family being the first goal of human values, where we learn The Wise Use of Freedom. And again, he this past summer was horrified, or horrified his liberal pro-choice admirers when he equated abortion with Nazi eugenics and those who do abortions to Nazis with white gloves. Telling Italy's Family Association that he believes abortion for birth defects is akin to Nazi-style efforts to create a perfect master race. And he said there was only one true family, a family of a man and a woman. Pope Francis said, "It pains me to say this. In the last century, the entire world was scandalized over what the Nazis were doing to maintain the purity of the race. Today, we do the same thing, but with white gloves." He calls abortion is like hiring a hitman. He said, is it right to hire a hitman to solve a problem? The Pope says you cannot. It is not right to kill a human being, regardless of how small it is, to solve a problem. It's like hiring a hitman to solve a problem.
Are you sure this is Pope
this
Francis?
This is Pope Francis, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. He denounced the contradiction of allowing the suppression of human life in the mother's womb in the name of safeguarding other rights. He I'll ask the question, but how can an act that suppresses an innocent and helpless life that is germinating be therapeutic, civilized, or even simply human? I ask you, is it right to take out a human life to solve a problem? What do you think? Is it right? Is it right or not? He was very strong about that. So he speaks about the insidious, the evil, ideological colonization of the family by progressives.
Mm.
This is his, he distinctly uses this phrase, ideological colonization. So he says, you mentioned a great enemy of marriage today, great gender theory. He says, today the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. He says, this war isn't being fought with arms, but with ideas. Among these, there are certain ideologies that destroy marriage. They do this in pursuit of destroying matrimony, which is the most beautiful thing God created, having made man and woman in his image. So we need to defend ourselves from ideological colonization. When he was in the Philippines, he warned of same-sex marriage as one of the forms of ideological colonization which are out to destroy the family and redefine the very institution of marriage. That the family is being threatened by relativistic, powerful forces, by this culture that is characterized by a lack of openness to life, working to disfigure God's plan for creation. And then again, when it comes to marriage, he says, matrimony is a man and a woman, and it's not possible to change it. Those are his direct words. Despite leftist attempts to remold the Pope into some sort of same-sex marriage advocate, he has been solid on the Church's position on natural, traditional, and biblical marriage. Here's his quote. What can we think of marriage between people of the same sex? This is the Pope.
Pope Francis?
Pope Francis says, matrimony is a historical word, always, in humanity, and not just in the Church. It was a man and a woman. It's not possible to change it. It's not possible to change it, he emphasizes. It is part of nature. That's how it is. So he says, let us not play with truths. And he insisted, let us call things by their names. Matrimony is between a man and a woman. This is the precise term. He says, call a same-sex union a civil union, if you will, But it's not marriage. Let us not play with truth. Same-sex marriage is not a marriage. Quote, unquote, Pope Francis. He says, what they are proposing is not marriage. It is an association. But it is not marriage. It is necessary to say things very clearly, and we must say this. He said, the family is hit. The family is knocked, and the family is debased. Can everything be called a family? How much relativism there is in the concept of the sacrament of marriage? The Holy Father condemned the new forms totally destructive of marriage. He affirmed that family is a family, an anthropological fact, and cannot be qualified by ideological notions. And then he'll go on to say that the children have a right to grow up in a family with a father and a mother. He says, this is in his exhortation on the joy of the gospel. I stress the indispensable contribution of marriage to society, a contribution that transcends the feelings and momentary needs of the couple. And this is why I am grateful for the emphasis that he's speaking to this colloquium, has placed on the benefits that marriage can provide children, the spouses themselves, and society. Marriage now tends to be viewed as a form of mere emotional satisfaction that can be constructed in any way or modified at will. But the indispensable contribution of marriage to society transcends the feelings and momentary needs of the couple. And, you know, with regards to gay marriage, you know, he calls it demonic. He says, he declared same-sex, this is before he was Pope, as Cardinal in Argentina, he declared same-sex marriage as a diabolical effort of the father of lies to destroy God's plan and deceive the children of God. He says, let us not be naive, this is not simply a political struggle, but it is an attempt to destroy God's plan. It is not just a bill, a mere instrument. He's talking about as they're legislating in Argentina to redefine marriage, which they did. But he says this is a move of the father of lies who seeks to confuse and deceive the children of God. The lives of many children who will be discriminated against in advance and deprived of their human development, given by a father and a mother, and willed by God. At stake is a total rejection of God's law engraved in our hearts. And with regards to transgenders, he says, transgenderism is a new cause to be celebrated among Western liberals, but an atrocity. He says, let's think of the nuclear arms, of the possibility to annihilate in a few instants a very high number of human beings. Let's think also of genetic manipulation, of the manipulation of life, or of the gender theory that does not recognize the order of creation. With this attitude, man commits a new sin, that against God, the Creator. He wants to be merciful, but he also wants to be truthful. But that's what's interesting is, again, how the media will distort or, you know, completely ignore these things. And I say, you know, I know what the church teaches, so I preach what the church teaching. And what happens is when he says something that seems to favor a leftist ideology, that gets put out there, but this other stuff, these other things that speak to the truth are simply ignored. Anyway, all right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? see? Can you see?